questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn!
It certainly is, and it's our first one back for the year, which is very exciting, and we have got Dr. David Welch in the studio. Morena, how are you?
Hey, well, thank you for having me. I didn't realise it was your first one back.
Oh,
what an honour.
Very exciting. Hey, we're chatting to you as head of the audiology section of the School of Population Health, Faculty of Medical and Health Sciences at the University of Auckland. And we're talking to you about loud music today, mm-hmm. amongst other things. Can you explain for us a little bit, what is your research area that we're talking about this morning?
Yeah, sure. Well, We started by doing some research in noise-induced hearing loss. So
okay.
we were talking to people in like noisy factories, mm-hmm. People who use firearms and power tools and all this kind of stuff. And one of the interesting things was when we talked to them about protecting their ears in such environments, a lot of them didn't really seem to care and they seemed to just accept the noise.
Right.
They seemed to think, it's not that bad. And, you know, for us going in there, it was like really full on. And
it was
hard to deal with. So we started to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our thoughts was, well, we're all exposed to loud sound through music quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And could that sort of desensitize people in a way to loud noise? And it could it be a sort of a socio-cultural kind of thing?
So I'm really interested because one thing that you did as part of this research was talk to people who work in nightclubs and in sort of like the nightlife music scene about this. How did that research go about? What did you sort of do there? Who you're talking to?
Yeah, well, that was work I did with a colleague, Guy Frimeau. He's an audiologist up in Whangarei now. But he and I were interested in finding out what it was about the nightclub industry that made it sort of necessary or mm-hmm. accepted that the sound be really, really loud. You know what it's like when you go into a club and that initially you go and the music hits you like a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, what is that? We enjoy it.
Yeah.
And people say that the sort of overriding thing people say is it's fun.
Yeah.
It's part of the fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really fascinated by that. Is that something that's changed over time or has music always been loud in clubs?
Well, I mean, I don't know, you know, but if you go back 100 years or something,
mm-hmm.
I suppose that the amplification technology wasn't there. So, and people didn't seem to listen to their music that loud. They dance and they talk and stuff, I suppose. But I don't think it was really, really loud. I think that kind of crept in with maybe the 1960s and that whole rock and roll music. The loudness was part of that, right?
Yeah. Maybe it's something to do with being able to feel it as well, because there's something about being in a nightclub and getting the kind of bass pounding through your chest too, which is quite a specific part of it.
Absolutely, yeah. And that idea that you've got senses in your viscera, inside your body, which when the music is at low frequencies and very, very loud, it actually activates them. So it does help you dance because you literally feel the beat going through your body.
Okay, so it's actually like a physiological thing when you're dancing that you're sort of compelled to do it, not just because the music's good.
In a way, yeah. It's the senses that we have in our gut tell us, you know, when we've got an upset tummy or something like that. They get, when the music's loud enough, they
really
actually get activated by it. Yeah.
Wow, that's so fascinating. Mm. Did you talk to people about hearing protection in that context as well? Were you talking about wearing earplugs to gigs? We've talked about this a little bit this morning already. Is that something that people were saying they did or didn't do?
Well, we did. We did a sort of a follow-up study and to that work in nightclubs where we tried training the staff of a nightclub.
Mm.
So this was with Ellen Ma, and she was the manageress of a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Ravi Reddy was our other colleague who worked on that. And we used, there's a training program called Dangerous Decibels, and it was originally developed for school kids, and we developed it for adults.
Mm-hmm.
And we administered it to the people in the nightclub. And it was partly about them wearing hearing protection, because we thought if the staff are doing it, it kind of, on the one hand, protects them because they're really exposed to the noise, of course, because they're there.
You know, night after night as well, yeah.
You've got it, absolutely. And we also thought, well, if the clients in the nightclub, the customers, see the staff wearing the hearing protection, maybe it will kind of
remind
them and give them a bit of impetus.
So what is dangerous decibels? Is it like it's a program? Is it sort of like worksheets, or is it an app, or how does it work?
Well, it's quite fun actually. It was developed for 10-year-old kids in the first place,
cool.
And it was developed by some of our friends in America.
Yeah.
And then a few years ago, they brought it over here, and we developed it for New Zealand. And it's basically 45 minutes of playing. And
okay, so awesome.
You take a classroom of 10-year-old kids who are like awesome to work with because they're really interested and very smart,
mm-hmm.
and you play a whole lot of games and talk to them about sound and noise and how you can damage your ears and how you can protect your ears,
mm-hmm.
and people learn. And we've done quite a lot of research around it to show that it actually works.
Cool.
And so, it is really cool.
Yeah, and adults love games as well. You
totally,
know, it takes maybe 5 minutes of warming you up, and then suddenly you're like, oh, this is so much fun.
You've got it. Yep.
Hey, I'm really interested as well because you've looked a little bit at the very nature of music, so why music makes us feel, you know, emotions as well, because it is sound waves. It's a very basic thing. It's something that's literally moving through the air, kind of. What have you sort of learnt from that?
Well,
what makes music music?
Yeah, that's a huge question.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And there's whole books written about this, but just a sort of in a nutshell, our brains, we think, evolved to enable us to cope with the complex environment, mm-hmm. and survive and all that kind of thing. One of the early things that sound would have been important for was our survival.
Right.
So it's sort of warning systems, and if there's something we can eat, something we can drink, that kind of stuff. And so our survival's keyed into our emotional system. And so the way sound comes in through our ears, it gets sent up to our brain, but it also gets sent down to the lower parts of our brain where the emotions happen.
Right.
Because it was so integral to our survival that pleasurable stuff was associated with sound. And that's what our music taps into, really. And so I've done work with musicologists, like people in music departments who study music. And we've sort of put together some of the neurophysiology and the acoustics of sound with their understanding of the music, and it gives this really fascinating picture of how music taps into the systems that mediate sound, and then those give us emotions and we feel them. And there are amazing effects, and not just music, any sound actually has these huge emotional effects on us. Sound environments, if you think about, say, going and standing out in the bush and you hear the birds singing and the wind in the trees and all that, you feel the sense of calm and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And then going into a busy bar or cafe and there's rattling and people talking and things happening, and you start to feel more excited, and it's all this kind of effect. It's really fascinating.
It is so fascinating because it's something that, you know, affects us literally all the time if we have the privilege of being able to hear, of course. But, you know, if you think about it, it's just like shaping you the whole day through, you know.
It is. And you know what, that's the thing that got me, is the fact that people forget that. I think it's so integral to us that we sort of almost forget it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when I talk to people, again, going back to that idea of people working in noisy places, nightclubs or factories or whatever, and they sort of, they'll expose themselves to noise which will take away that sense of hearing.
Mm.
And it makes me feel sad. I've talked to people who've lost their hearing, and it, you know, literally does bring tears to your eyes when you talk to them, and they say, you know, they feel so cut off and they feel so sad about the world. And it's such a shame that we, as you were saying, it's such a part of us that we kind of shouldn't lose it, but people do.
Well, this is totally fascinating. Thank you so much for coming and chatting to us this morning, Dr. David Welch. It's such a pleasure to hear about this and, to think about things that you kind of just take for granted a little bit otherwise.
Cool, great pleasure.
So thank you so much for coming up.
Thank you.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.